At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hey everyone, Happy New Year and welcome back to Millennial Mama. There is so much inequality in the corporate industry, and I can just imagine what that situation will be for new moms. To talk about this, I have got on Meenakshi Iyer. Meenakshi is a content specialist, and she has over a decade of experience working with media corporates like Elle, Hindustan Times, Indian Express, Reuters, among others. And we're going to talk about her experience as a working mother, and was life really different for her post-maternity break? Hey Meenakshi, how are you? Welcome to Millennial Mama.
Hi Sanchi, so good to be here. I'm so glad we are doing this.
Yeah, I'm so glad as well. Meenakshi, when I read about you, I was so intrigued, and I was so, because I have grown up reading these magazines and I love these magazines. But you know, it seems like a very different world from the outside. So I wanted to have you here and discuss with you what it is like to be working in the media industry, especially as a mother, you know, and like you've been working for years. So what was your experience like getting back after your maternity leave? Do you feel that the perceptions were different, or did you feel welcome with open arms? What was it like?
So I'll be very honest here. Before I became a mom, I had never given it much thought, you know, the whole transition about how it will be. I would literally call myself a bit foolish in that sense, where I never took time to, you know, sit and think, you know, how I'm going to do this. And once my baby came, it finally hit me that, okay, you know, my whole world has literally changed overnight, and it slowly started sinking in, and I started thinking about, you know, how I want to go back to work. And back then, even that 6 month maternity break rule was still not around, you know, it was still 3 months. So I decided to take 3 months more of unpaid leave, because I was just not ready to come back in 3 months. Also, I had a very tough birthing experience, you know. In fact, it's something that I have documented in the past, and it was shared widely a few years ago. Unfortunately, resonated with many, many women. And in short, it was just, you know, pure torturous and painful. So anyway, I was already quite low on confidence settling into new motherhood. I also had a bit of postpartum blues. And, you know, all of it combined together, it was a really tough time for me. But I knew that after 6 months, I wanted to, you know, start thinking about getting back to work. So what I did was I spoke to the organization where I was working. And we sort of came to this little arrangement where I would come into work for, say, 4-5 hours initially, you know, just to sort of settle in. And they were really nice to, you know, sort of agree to that.
Yeah.
I still, you remember the night before the Monday I was to start, and I had like uncontrollable tears. I was just howling and crying because before that I had never left my baby for an extended period. And here I was supposed to leave her in the hands of a stranger. You know, there was that whole pressure of breastfeeding, pumping breast milk day and night. So I could leave enough for her. And then even pumping at work, I remember I had requested my HR to give me a room to pump, and their suggestion was to pump in the washroom.
Oh yeah, I have heard many, many women, even today, who are going to, not in the pandemic, of course, because everyone's working from home, thankfully, but a lot of women who at work are pumping in the washroom, and they carry pumps like for their 2 hour journey, and they go to the office, they pump in the washroom through the day. So I think that that's pretty heartbreaking.
It's so wrong. I mean, it's the absolute basic, right? So it was a struggle to, you know, literally make them understand how unhygienic that can be. Then they agreed to give me a spare cabin in, where our video editor used to sit and edit. And poor guy, he had to every day leave his work for an hour so I could pump in his room. Yeah. So we had to like, you know, manage our schedules in such a way that, you know, there was no way I could figure out, okay, I'm engorged and, you know, I need to go and pump. And I would just like text him saying, listen, I need the room right now. And he would leave everything he was doing and just, you know, make space for me. And then I would sit and sanitize the whole area every day because it used to be filthy. And then I would start pumping. So this whole process would take me literally 2 hours. I have taken calls over there while pumping. I've joined conference calls while pumping. Trying to get work done because, you know, it was a sizable portion of my day anyway.
Right.
So, you know, that's when it occurred to me how ill-prepared certain corporates, especially in media, are to welcome back working moms, you know. Some people even went to the extent of suggesting that I start formula for my daughter because pumping and breastfeeding was, you know, turning out to be quite tough. I mean, isn't that a mother's choice? That's not something a workplace should dictate.
Always,
So, you know, when I saw that people were really not aware of what it takes to be a mother and especially a working mom, what I did was I started having a lot of conversations in my workplace with everyone. Even to the extent of like boring them with like little details about my, you know, parenting journey. But I thought that was really important because it was something that nobody was exposed to. Even if, you know, birthing and child rearing and having a child is such a natural, normal process that so many people go through, yet what goes behind the scenes is something that is not discussed very often.
Absolutely.
So that was a very big transition for me, and I've had to, you know, assert myself as a mom at times when work would eat into my personal time. Thankfully, things changed dramatically for me when I moved organizations and I started working with someone who was also a mom herself. So then when, you know, things started becoming a bit easy for me. But until then, I had to explain myself as a parent, explain my priorities. I had to sensitize team members towards what it means to be a parent. Right. And in media especially, you see that your team members are, you know, younger kids who are probably single, unmarried. And it was not a very common sight to see like a pregnant woman wobbling around a newsroom, even like 4 years ago. So people around me, for them also, it was a new sight. And I literally worked till the very last day of my pregnancy. And I think, you know, I would say that I've also found many, many supporting people around the way, and that I'm very, very grateful for. But I think this adjusting to new role of mine took time, not just for me, but also for my co-workers. And then eventually we found our rhythm.
Good for you, Meenakshi. I mean, that really is so encouraging to hear. You know, and what you said, right, like people are like the media industry by far is like who takes fresh graduates and freshers and stuff.
Right.
So I want to ask you, as a working mother, was there a time where you thought you were not being taken seriously at work and, you know, you have to prove yourself time and again, even though your experience is that much higher than probably most of them there, to get like the good creme of the work or to negotiate your salaries? Do you think like a working mom has to at some point make a choice between what's good for her as a family and what's good for her career?
I think it's a constant struggle, you know, to be honest. It's constantly you are making different choices at different point of time to figure out what works best for you. And I can only talk from my experience working in media. Yes, you are viewed as someone who comes with certain attachments. So, you know, there are questions asked on how you manage your time or how will motherhood impact your output. I mean, no one will ask these questions in a straightforward manner. They'll not say, you're a mom and that's why, you know, we are having this discussion. But it is
whether you're willing to put in late nights. Like
exactly. That's
they,
a very
they glorify late nights. I was working in media and digital media as well for magazines and, you know, hotels and stuff. And they just expected you to put in late nights for some reason. That's just like a part of your job. So,
and it's unfair when you have a family. It's quite unfair. So no one will, like I said, no one will ask these questions directly, but it's often implied when, you know, you're interviewing and you're having a conversation. And even things like, you know, asking people, it's similar to asking women if they are married. And that is often looked as like the first step towards motherhood. So, but these questions are never asked of a man. And that's where, you know, all our gender
biases.
Exactly, they come into play. In terms of negotiations, I would say I've never felt that it was tougher because I'm a mom, but I've always thought it to be tougher for women in general. And, and in fact, many studies point towards the fact that many qualified women end up giving up their careers for motherhood. I was reading about this, and I think almost 40% women across the world lose out on promotions and increments after they become mothers.
And I have read something on this
choice
as well.
That's not something a workplace should dictate. In fact, many studies point towards the fact that many qualified women end up giving up their careers for motherhood. I was reading up and I saw that there was almost 40% of women who gave up or lost out on promotions and increments post motherhood. And, you know, that's a huge number and not something that we should be proud of. It's probably where all the gender pay gap also sort of comes into place, right? Personally, I have had some of my biggest professional wins after becoming a mom. And even, you know, I'm sure you'd agree that motherhood adds like sort of a new lens with which you view the world around you. You're a lot more better at time management because, you know, you have newer priorities and things to juggle. Also, I felt like my goals became a lot more clearer to me. And you have this like unique perspective on life. It's like it's very similar to, I keep saying, it's very similar to like a sort of a fog being lifted and then you just see the path very clearly. That's something that happened to me. And since then, I have taken that as one of my biggest strengths, and I just keep moving on.
That's great, and I completely agree. I feel I found a sort of a purpose of why I want to see my life headed after becoming a mom.
Absolutely.
Before that, I wanted to be successful. I was ambitious, but there was no clear definition of what I want to do. You know, it was always me trying different things. But motherhood definitely focuses you, because you know you want to give your best out there, because you're receiving the best at home.
Absolutely.
So I definitely agree with you. But, you know, you say about that study, and it's something I have heard as well. I think, I don't know where I've read about it. But on the other hand, I feel that society just glorifies a working mother. Would you agree?
I think I completely agree to that. You know, in fact, there was this recent example, I'm sure you've seen it, where this IAS officer joined work right after having a baby, and the baby was literally 14 days old or something like that. And this news was all over media. There were tweets suggesting how amazing she is and how dedicated she is. But to be honest, I found it to be extremely irresponsible of her to do this, you know, for multiple reasons.
And if everyone to cheer her for doing this, I feel that what example are you setting?
Exactly. It's putting so much pressure on mothers who are anyway burdened with so much already, right? And even like for simple reasons like health of the child and the mother, you're not ready to come back at 14 days. There's a reason why... Exactly. There's a reason why you get 6 months to, you know, settle into this new role. And I felt that, you know, such things just puts a lot of expectations on moms. You know, I was not happy to see that. And the other thing that I find extremely problematic is, you know, this image of a mother pops up every Mother's Day, where you see a woman with like 10 hands, you know, juggling 10 different things. And what it does is it makes the society believe that, you know, mothers are supposed to be multitaskers.
And they have got it all together and they have all the answers.
Exactly. And I would even go to the extent of saying that it's the society's way of putting all the responsibility on the mother so that it can let itself off the hook when it comes to supporting women. And
absolutely,
that, I feel, is extremely wrong. I mean, they are called multitaskers, but to be honest, that's not something that they are born with. Like, that's just a necessity that they have to be multitaskers.
Right. Agreed. Wow, this conversation is really interesting. I want to ask you one thing. How did you find your voice post the maternity break? How did you get into this flow of doing things where it comes naturally to you? Because after my pregnancy, after my delivery, I kind of felt shaken and lost. And I still sometimes, though I do feel much more secure and where I'm headed, I just feel secure about the fact what I want to do. At times I still feel like, oh my god, like, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Like, how, what helped you overcome this?
You know, I'll be very honest, Sanchi, I feel this every day. You know, there are so many things.
I feel so much better listening to that. Sorry, Vidakshi, but it just makes me feel like,
no,
phew.
It's so true. And I feel that it's something that never changes, because as your child grows, you know, things around you are also changing, and there are different expectations again. So, you know, people say that, you know, it gets better with time. I don't think it ever gets better. It's, you know, just a new day every day. But I think the biggest lesson that I learned was to be more assertive throughout this journey, and become like a clear communicator of what my situation is, what my needs are, how much I can deliver and what's doable for me. You know, and talking about it more often, and not just with your boss, but also your colleagues, your team members. I think that really helped. Like we just discussed, it can get quite overwhelming in the beginning, and finding support in the form of support groups, mom friends, colleagues who are moms. I'm also part of, you know, a lot of these WhatsApp and Facebook groups for moms, which is like pretty much like a no judgment zone, and you can always turn to them for advice and help. And these are the people who literally helped me when, you know, I was having sleepless nights, trying to figure out, you know, what is happening with my colicky baby. I could just text on the group at even like 3 a.m. and there's another mother who's, you know, up and breastfeeding is responding to me. And that's where I found a lot of support.
Right.
And most importantly, I think the other thing that I struggled a lot was mom guilt. You know, leaving a child behind for 10 hours was very tough. It was very tough. And I would, you know, often question myself, do I really need this career? Can I not just be happy at home and taking care of my child? And I still do. I still ask these questions to myself when I'm spending 16 hours working from home at times. I'm not able to probably finish my daughter's assignments on time, not being able to dress her up for some kind of a day that's happening in her school. These are really tough days, and I do question myself on what is it that I'm really doing. But, you know, there are also days when I see that I'm happy trying to find that balance of being a mom and a working woman. And those are the good days, I feel.
Yeah. And, you know, Meenakshi, you know, thank you for being so open about your bad days, because, you know what, though I know everyone has bad days, I when you say that you feel guilty, like you're not being able to give your daughter the importance or dress her up, I feel even though I've not reached that stage yet where my daughter's going to school, there are times when I'm like trying to put up something, you know, put up a post or chat with someone, try to schedule an interview, and she's demanding attention, and I have to literally like be like, wait. And, you know, it obviously it is not like guilt me to that level where I'm like, what? But it does play in my mind, should I have like given in to her and, you know, done my thing later? So I feel it's so important to have these conversations, because you're not alone. You know, we are all doing this. We are all doing the best we can, especially at a time like this.
That's very important. You know, just acknowledging that this is the, you know, you're doing absolute best that you can, because just acknowledging that makes it easier, you know, because every mom's situation is so different. You know, some have support, some don't have support. Then again, your partner becomes a very important part of this, where you know, whether he is an equal parent or no. So a lot of questions come into the fore.
Absolutely. So thank you for sharing your journey with me, Meenakshi, and it has been such a pleasure to host you on the podcast. Thank you for joining me today. It's been really, really nice chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Saji. I'm so happy that, you know, we got to do this, because this is something that's very close to my heart and something that I talk about very often. So just getting this platform to do this is I'm very, very excited and happy about it.
Meenakshi sheds light on topics that need to be spoken about. So the next time you're thinking twice before telling your colleagues you're breastfeeding or your toddler is throwing a tantrum, just go ahead. We need to get the communication going. To connect with Meenakshi, you can reach out to her on Instagram at culturecola. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HD Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to hdsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HD Smartcast original. HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.